Well, good afternoon to everyone, and it's good to see so many people here today.
Yes.
We're going to be looking at what I've called religious occultism, and what do we actually mean by this? If you remember, or perhaps when you studied the book of Daniel, one of the things about Babylon was they had what was known as the mystic religions. And that is still with us. It came down from Babylon through all the image metals, right the way through to Rome, and it is now still with us in various forms and in religion. And it is a knowledge that is kept from the general population. And the most common use of a cult, if you read it up in dictionaries and things, you'll find that it's the practice of magic and anything that's paranormal or supernatural, but it is still, most importantly, the worship of Satan or Lucifer in one form or another. Now, it's not always easy to see the worship of Satan in the cults, but it is certainly there. And there's a lot of cult pictures on there, symbols on there, that you will see in various places. If we look, I'm going to look first of all at the Freemasons. And it may seem strange because the Freemasons, we would not class as a religious organisation, but you will see why I'm doing this a little bit later in the lecture. It's like a kingdom within a kingdom, the Freemasons. There are two parts of the Freemasonry. There is the general Freemasons, which would be people like you and I. But there is also the 33 degree Freemasons, and they are called the higher Masons, and they are the only ones who know the true meaning and agenda of Masonry. And they deliberately keep all their fellow Masons, which would be the majority, in the dark, and they believe that they deserve to be deceived and misled. So therefore 95% of Masonry, or Masons, do not know really what Masonry is all about. So that means that when we look at this, we're not talking about all the Freemasons. We're talking about just 5% of the Freemasons when we're talking about the occult part of it. And the rest of them most likely have very good intentions. And the reason we're going to look at it is because we find that Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses have their roots in Freemasonry. And this will, as we go through this lecture, you will see when you compare Jehovah's Witnesses with Mormons, they're not exactly the same. Otherwise, you might as well be the same religion. But if you compare them, you will see that there are many beliefs in their organisation which have similarities. And when you believe that this all comes from the fact that the originators of these organisations came from the Freemasons. Now, when I've done this lecture, I've gone to the original sources wherever possible, because there is so much falseness on the internet. Don't believe everything you read about Freemasons or Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. A lot of it is wrong. So what I've tried to do is to get back to the original literature using their own sites or using their own books to find out exactly what they believe. But with Freemasons, it's a little bit more difficult because there are two types of books. Same name, same author, but one which is for the general public, you and I, which is very short, and one which is for the higher Masons, which is much longer. So it's much harder to get back to them. One of the main authors of books for the Freemasons is a person called Albert Pike. And the reason that they don't want people to read all their books, he tells us in one of his books, he says, Masonry is identical to the ancient mysteries. Now, I've just spoken about those a few months ago. The ancient mysteries are coming down from Babylon. Idol worship. So this means that these people, their teachings are the same as the ancient pagan satanic mysteries. Now, if you went into a Mason's lodge in England, you would see the Bible on their, I would call it on the table, or their altar. And this would make you immediately think they're Christians. And most people would start to believe that it's quite safe to join the Freemasons because they have the Bible there. But they don't view the Bible in the same way that we do. They twist everything to fit in with their mystical view of reality. And if this statement says masonry has nothing whatsoever to do with the Bible, don't forget they've got the Bible there. That is not founded on the Bible, for if it were, it would not be masonry, it would be something else. Now, if you go to the Masons' places in other countries, for instance, you went to an Islamic country, you'd find the Quran there. If you went to Israel, because every country has a Mason organization, if you went to Israel, you would find the Torah. They fit in with whatever culture they are actually established in. So if this is true, that they are not biblical, who do the Masons worship? They don't cause any secrets. Now, the red line words here are me emphasizing something. What is more absurd and more impious than to attribute the name of Lucifer to the devil? That is, to personify evil. The intellectual Lucifer is the spirit of intelligence and love, is the paraclete, it is the Holy Spirit, while the physical Lucifer is the great ancient agent of universal magnetism. Now, if you look, you'll see that each time that I'm making a quote here, it's from a Mason of 33 degrees. They are the top Masons. So in this statement, you can see very clearly that in Masonry, Lucifer takes on the attributes of God. He has intelligence, he has love, and he is the great, whatever this means, universal agent. But Satan is viewed here, in a word that perhaps we're not quite used to, he's viewed as the paraclete. If I can find him. The word here is paraclete. That is a name given to the Holy Spirit. So it's saying the Holy Spirit twice in here. And so he is the comforter, and he's also the advocate. Go through to another statement from Masonry. Though Masonry never usurps the place of nor apes religion, prayer is an essential part of our ceremony. It is the aspiration of the soul towards the absolute and infinite intelligence. And remember what they've already told you what that is. Not God. Which is the one supreme deity, most feebly and misunderstandably characterized as an architect. Certain faculties of man are directed towards the unknown: thought, meditation, prayer. The unknown is an ocean of which conscience is the compass. Thought, meditation, prayer are the great mysteries, pointings of the needle. Now you think of some of the religions that use meditation. It is a spiritual magnetism that thus connects the human soul with the deity. This majestic irradiation of the soul pierces through the shadow towards the light. Now remember who they are talking about. It is not God. It is Satan. When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands, and before he may step onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly apply this energy. From Freemason, 33 degree Freemason. So the inner Masons, the higher Masons, don't disguise it, they worship Satan. And they believe that in worshipping Satan, they are given magical powers. Now remember when I spoke about occultism at the beginning, that's one of the signs of occultism. Now this is an interesting statement from one of their books, and this puts Christ well and truly out of the theology that they use. Therefore Masonry teaches the redemption and salvation are both the power and the responsibility of the individual Mason. So you're redeemed by your own works. Do you get the idea of that one? Saviours like Hiram Abiff. Not saviours like Jesus. Saviours like Hiram Abib can and do show the way, but men must always follow and demonstrate each for himself his power to save himself, to build his own spiritual fabric in his own time and way. Every man, in essence, is his own saviour and redeemer. For if he does not save himself, he will not be saved. The reader who succeeds in getting back to the real teachings of the master, Satan, including Jesus of Nazareth, will find unanimity of thinking on this master, on this matter. Now, this is from Lynn Perkins, again, a 33-degree Mason. Now, it's interesting, there's a person's name mentioned there. Whoops, sorry.
Hiram
Abib, which none of us know. Not mentioned in the Bible. He was a widow's son from Tyre, and he was employed as one of the leading architects in King Solomon's Temple. You will find that Masons frequently mention King Solomon's Temple. One day, while he's worshipping the grand architect, and we've already spoken about him, again, it's not God, of the universe, in the Holy of Holies, Hiram was attacked by three ruffians and who demanded the master's word, the secret word in the mystery, the name of God. It's a secret name that would give him the power. And because he wouldn't give it to them, the ruffians killed him and his blood was shed in the temple itself. And Solomon came along, and he raised Hiram from the dead by using the third degree grip, a special grip that's supposed to be full of magic and power. And he was a master mason, according to the Freemasons. We didn't know that Solomon was a Freemason, but nevertheless he is. And uttering in Hiram's ear the phrase, Maha Bone, and he was therefore resurrected from the dead. And he didn't stay here. He was ushered up into heaven, whichever the Masons class as heaven, and he became the replacement for the resurrected Jesus Christ. So, we now have established who Freemasons worship. Not Christ, not God, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and God are Satan, and now we've got Hiram as being Jesus Christ. I want to look at some of the Masonic symbols. I'm going to look at them all. I'm only going to look at some of the relevant ones that will tell us a little bit about them if necessary. So the first one we see on there is the snake. And the serpent, we're told, again by a 33-degree Mason, Manly Hall, the serpent is the symbol and prototype of the universal saviour, who redeems the world by giving creation the knowledge of itself and the realization of good and evil. Well, we know that the snake gave the knowledge of good and evil because he did this in the Garden of Eden. But they are saying that that's the one that's going to save the world. And this statement was never ever published for you and I to normally read. And we're told why this is. It is the body of the Holy Spirit, the universal agent, the serpent devouring its own tail. So, Freemasons depict the universal saviour of the world as a serpent. Now we see why Freemasonry insists that its initiates take a solemn oath that they are never to divulge their secrets. If they do, they will have their throat slit and they will be disemboweled. Then we have triangles. Triangles have more than one meaning in Freemasonry. There are two types, the upward pointing triangle, the downward pointing triangle. And the triangle is an equilateral triangle. And the upward pointing one is a symbol of the Egyptian god Set, S-E-T. And that's one of the names of Satan. And it also represents the male sexual organ and the element of fire. So it has three meanings. And it also has an extra one, which is blasphemy. It says, furthermore, it symbolizes the perfect or divine man. And if you don't believe that, here again from Manly Hall, Man is God in the making. And then if we go to another one, it says, to the profoundest insight of the human soul, that God becomes man, that man may become God. And so this is why you'll find in Freemasonry that the pyramid, or the triangle, is such an important symbol. Now if we go to the second one, which is the downward pointing one, this represents the deity, and it's called the deity's triangle, or the water triangle. But it also symbolizes the woman, the sexual parts of a woman. And if we look at one of the emblems that they use, this triangle, you will begin to see something about Freemasonry, which is very prominent. The hexagram is, you can see, it's actually forming, the two triangles are interlaced. Now, if you look at the Jewish one, you know the Star of David, is it the Star of David? It's not interlaced. It's flat. But this one is actually joined to the other one. And this is also known as the Seal of Solomon. Now, what does this mean? When the two triangles are interlaced, it represents the union of the active and passive forces in nature. It represents the male and female elements. It's a sexual overtone. This is what this is basically. So therefore we have the masculine and female triangle integrated, and this therefore is the sex act, sexual union. And it's also the reconciliation of opposites, fire and water. And so therefore we're into the yin and the yang. See how this begins to infiltrate other things. And the other opposites, of course, is God and Satan. So the occultists worship sex, and they worship almost everything else that's in nature. Then we find the all-seeing eye. This, I think, is one of the most famous symbols of Freemasonry. This is it's often depicted. If you watch things like pop music, you will often see people giving you the occult eye by covering one eye up. And quite a few are doing it and paying the penalty. Many of them are actually suffering from devil possession, which they are finding very frightening. Britney Spears was one that had to go in and be treated because she thought that she had the number 666 on her, and she's another one that gives you the Eye of Horus, as it is called, from Egypt. Notice how everything's going back to Egypt as well. And it's supposed to be a reminder to Masons that their thoughts and deeds are always observed by God. And their God, don't forget, is the great architect of, but he's not the Christian God. So this all CNI is Horus. Then we have the glass with wings. And there are lots of these symbols. I've only chosen a few to talk about because these are more important than all the rest. Now what is the hourglass, which is here? It's a symbol of time. And it's supposed to give people the idea that time is going to run out for them at some time. But there is a hidden meaning behind this because you can turn it upside down.
Yeah, like a hair timer.
Yeah, so that means that it is also talking about the fact you can reverse death. And the wings on there is still referring back to divinity. Remember we said that man becomes divine. And also it has the idea of eternity. So here we have divinity and the reversal of time in our lives. So the Masons worship both Lucifer and Satan. It is interesting that they separate the two. We know Lucifer and Satan are one, but they in the occultism, they separate one as Lucifer and one as Satan. And we've got to stress this again, that only the top 5% am I talking about here. I'm not talking about the 95% of them. They serve both the good and the evil, Lucifer and Satan. So one part of Satan is good and one part is evil. And they believe that good and evil has to exist in equal measures in the world. And they believe that good could not exist without the existence of evil. So if we go and look at the symbols of the good and evil Satan, there are the two symbols. If the triangle is upright, if the symbols is upright, it is the good one called Lucifer. If it is upside down, and that is put in there to emphasize what it actually means, it is the evil one called Satan. Now this is a bit confusing to us because we know that Satan and Lucifer are the same and he's evil. And they actually worship him as Baphomet. And Baphomet is quite frightening. Now Satan, remember, always happy for people to see him with the horns and goat's feet and a tail, because when he returns to imitate Christ, he's going to be a beautiful angel. But everybody will be expecting a goat that can walk like a man. So this is Baphomet. And Baphomet is both male and female. Remember we were saying that they are very much into sex. And this is the god that 33 degree Masons actually worship. And if you look at the image, you will see that both male and female emblems are on that particular one, but I'm not going to dwell on it. Just two more symbols and then I'm going to go on to the other subjects. And these are associated with it. The symbol appears to be a Christian symbol. And if you look at it, you think, good, this has got a crown and a cross, that must be something to do. But that's not the case. If you're a Freemason, you will know what that actually symbolises. And according to Albert Pike in Morals and Dogma, the cross is the male organ and the crown is the female sexual organ. And the other one I want to just mention is the winged sun disc. Now, let's not start looking around and seeing everywhere we go Freemasonry. The Mini, I'm sure, is not a Freemason car, despite the fact it has that symbol with the word Mini written in it.
Rolls Royce.
Yeah, there's loads of cars with this on. But it's supposed to be, in those days, meant speed. But I don't think we've got to start to look around to find Freemasonry everywhere we go. Otherwise, we won't go leave our houses, all right? We'll be locked ourselves in, we'll stay indoors. But this one, again, represents another Egyptian god. It's the god Ra from the Egyptian mythology. So those are the symbolism that shows us, first of all, who the Masons worship. And second, I'm going to use some of those symbols now to show you the connection between that and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. This, going to look at the Mormons now, and non-